pungent, astringent, and bitter. These tastes are made out of the five elements, which I'll describe tomorrow, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. This is what Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita when he says, if you know these things, you'll know everything. This is not air, just like, you know, this is not earth, like a cloud of earth. This means anything that's solid. It has principally earth within its composition. Similarly, water is anything that's liquid. Not just water, but anything that's liquid means that the primary element within that substance is water. Similarly, anything which is effulgent, luminous, is primarily fire. And anything that is primarily gaseous is air. And anything that which is primarily holds things within it is ether. Just like, for instance, in the atom, here's an atom with the protons, the neutrons, this is the electron. Everything can be analyzed in terms of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, these gross elements. Every gross substance in the material world can be analyzed, whether it's primarily earth or water, fire, air, and ether. So here we have the electron. What would that be? Would that be earth, water, fire, air, or ether? Electron.
Fire.
Fire, yes. Fire. And what would be the earth part of the atom? The proton and the neutrons. And what would be the water part? Water means that which holds things together. What's that?
Positron.
The nucleus, yes. It's just the nucleus. It's what's holding the protons and the neutrons together. And what would be the air part of it? Yes, the movement of the electron is the air. And what would be the ether part? The space, yes. In this way, everything in the material world can be analyzed in terms of these five elements. And these five elements, they combine together to form the six different tastes. And everything in the material world has one of these six tastes to some proportion, or a combination of these six tastes. Everything, whether it's gross elements or food or colors, or thoughts or emotions, they all have these six tastes, which we'll go over more. For instance, sweet not only means the sweet, like sugar. Sugar is considered to be the pure taste of sweet. But also there is complex sweet, which is like bread, carbohydrates are sweet, primarily. Most food is sweet. And sweet also means sweet disposition. For instance, a kapha person, they, like Tama Vriksha, he's known to be a sweet person. They're the old sweeties. And there's also, for every positive quality, there's the possibility of a negative one also. So, sweet can also be kind of complacent. Too much sweet can lead to complacency. That's on the subtle platform. But sweet usually has certain qualities, such as it builds the basic building element of our body, provides all the nutrition to the body. So that's sweet. Similarly, sour has certain qualities, certain properties. And persons who have a pitta nature, because they're sour is sweet is made of earth and water. And sour is made out of earth and fire. Sour produces, on the subtle platform, discrimination. And on the negative side, it produces envy. The famous story of the fox and the grapes. So everyone knows that story. The fox saw some grapes and was jumping up. And then finally he said, they're sour. That's a little bit of enviousness. But sour also produces, on the subtle platform, discrimination. So pitta people will be generally have very sharp intelligence, discriminating. And on the taste platform, because it's made out of earth and fire, so sour will, because it has fire in it, it'll increase digestion. It'll eliminate mucus in the body. For instance, we'll go into like the brahmastra. And, sometimes they put lemon into it. But its primary thing is pungent. And we don't have time now, but tomorrow we'll go over what sweet, sour, salty, and bitter are, what some of their qualities are, and how they balance or imbalance the different doshas, and how they're good or not so good, according to what our doshas are at the present time or in general. And here on the handouts, for those who have it, there's letters from Prabhupada. We'll go over that briefly tomorrow. Prabhupada's views on health. And then if you can read, those who have it, something about the six tastes when you get a chance. It tells you something about earth, water, fire, and something about sweet, sour, salty, pungent, astringent, and bitter. And we'll also ask the questions tomorrow if anyone has any questions. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yesterday we went over that the real disease in the material world is caused by two factors. Does anyone know what the real original cause of all diseases? Yes. What's that? Yes. Why do you get a body? Material. Mother Nikunda Vasini? Yes. That leads to ichcha and dvesha, desire and hate. We hate the fact that we desire to control and enjoy, and we hate the fact that we can't do it. But we want to become Krishna, and we hate Krishna because we can't become him. And that manifests itself in things like moha, kama, ekrodha, moha, matsara, mara, lust, anger, lobha, greed, envy, madness, and illusion. And those things affect the mind, the consciousness, and because the consciousness is unclear, therefore we do things which are not in harmony with the laws of nature, and therefore we suffer. And the solution, there's only one solution, because the main disease is known as bhava roga. Everyone knows bhava roga? The repetition of birth and death. And there's only one cure. What's that cure? Yes? Krishna consciousness. That's the only cure. And Krishna consciousness means, basically, there are many processes, but in terms of some general things in terms of health are eat Krishna prasadam and only as much as you can digest. And chant Hare Krishna and be happy. You've heard that before? So that's our prescription. That was Prabhupada's prescription. A diet, because every bona fide doctor, he gives two things. He gives medicine and he gives a diet. and our diet is Krishna Prasadam, and our medicine is chanting Hare Krishna. And if we do that, then we'll become actually healthy. Not only the idea our next lifetime we'll get a spiritual body, but even in this lifetime, to the extent that one can be healthy and satisfied in the material world, if one follows that prescription, then he'll actually be able to experience that, even in this material world. Of course, part of that, the main part, is to be Krishna conscious. Somehow or another, to remember Krishna. Because if one is Krishna conscious, automatically all the other good qualities will also follow. Yasyasti bhakti or bhagavata kinchana savaraganas tatra samastate sara harava bhaktasya mahagutam gana manorate nasati davato bahi. And if one is Krishna conscious, all the good qualities such as in health, if one wants to be strong and healthy, then regulation is probably the most essential quality that one needs. So regulation will automatically follow. Just like one devotee was saying yesterday, that since he's joined the Hare Krishna movement, although previously he was more unregulated, but now he's finding he's more regulated. So that's good. It means that our movement is functioning to some extent. People are getting up for the program and they're following a program. That's called regulation. That we don't have prasadam one day 3 o'clock in the morning, the next day 9 o'clock. Generally it's every day at the same time, or nearly the same time. So that's regulation, and regulation can control which dosha. Just like yesterday we went over, there's three doshas, vata, pitta, and kapha. So what dosha will regulation control? Yeah. Yes, because there's three things in the material world. You have activity. Of course, first you have something to be active with, then you have activity. Either something is active or is inactive, and you need something to transform something that potentially has energy into something else, or mainly activity. Like something, kapha has potential energy, vata is that potential energy actualized, being utilized for something, and pitta is that energy which transformed the potential energy into the active energy. Is that clear? So active energy, when you have activity, then if that activity is regulated, then regulation means not too much or not too little. And Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Generally, our activities are too much or they're too little, and that causes problems. We may eat too much or we may eat too little. We may sleep too much or we may not sleep enough. And that causes different types of problems. So what those problems are, that Ayurveda can explain all the different details of what the problems are. Generally, the two problems, too much or too little, come out to, for instance, if you eat too much, then it does. What happens? What's that? Yes, then you sleep too much. And what happens? Indigestion. What generally they talk about is the main cause of disease in Ayurveda is indigestion. Actually, it's lack of Krishna consciousness, which leads eventually to indigestion. So indigestion means that the food or that thought, whatever was supposed to nourish you, instead of nourishing you, then it becomes some poison. In other words, if it doesn't nourish you, then it blocks the channels of nourishment. The body functions in different channels. Perhaps you've heard of like the different chakras everyone has heard of the chakras. And the different channels like the Ida, Pinda, or the nadis. The body has, or the meridians in the Chinese medicine. The body functions through channels. And in Sanskrit, this is called, the channels are called Shrota, S-T-R-O, Shrotamsi, Shro. Don't write it down, I just spelled it wrong. S-R-O-T-A-M-S-I. see. So that's the, and then fluoro is Schrotus. So, so these are the channels. By which different types of energies flows. There are different, the major ones are like Ambu, Shrot, Ambu, Vaha, Shrotras. Ambu means water. That all the channels that carry water in the body. Or Ana, Vaha, Shrotras, all the channels that carry the food. So when the when there's indigestion, what happens is that they the food which is not digested, which is called Am, what I'm giving now is just a broad overall understanding of what Ayurveda is. What's called Am, which is undigested food or thoughts. That blocks the channel, and therefore, even if you eat more, even if it is digested, when the channels are blocked, then the nutrients can't go to the different channels, through the different channels, and therefore, they're not being fed. And similarly, the waste that comes through the process of digestion, we call the malas, they can't be excreted. So as soon as you have indigestion, you have a problem. One is that you won't receive nutrition, and therefore the body doesn't, and because the body is constantly utilizing energy and breaking down, the waste don't get excreted, and the new nutrition doesn't come in. Is that clear? So let me give you some terms that are used in Ayurveda. We went over dosha yesterday. And then there, we're going to discuss a little about dhatu and something about mala. Dosha, as we said, these are energies within the body. Without going into all the technicality, because there are different ways of looking at doshas, there are vata, or vayu sometimes it's written, vata, pitta, and kapha. These are physiochemical or physiological energies, or the energies that work on the physiochemical and physiological systems within the body. Physiological means the mechanisms by which all the different organisms work, organs within the body work, and physiochemical means like the structures of the body, or the what makes it up, the chemicals, the elements and the chemicals. So these energies, vata, pitta, and kapha, they are the energies that create all the different transformations, physiological and physiochemical, within the body. And what they work on is the dhatus. They're like the dhatu means the basic bodily structures within the body. Dhatu means that which sustains. And there are seven major dhatus, such as rasa. Then there is not necessarily this letter, rasa, rakta, blood. Medus. I'll put the English words for it. The rasa is more or less like lymph. And then blood, fat, or muscle actually comes first. Muscle. Fat, then marrow, and bone, and reproductive fluid. That's sukra or artha. Marrow is what fills inside the bone. No. There's seven. Rasa is the first, then blood, then muscle, then fat, then marrow, then bone, then reproductive. And the essence of this is called ojas. In the sense, in the Bhagavatam, you'll find this word oja, which means strength. This is the strength of the body. And the malas are the parts that are, and the process of digestion, and the process of the unnecessary part, more or less. Let's see how it's defined here. Substances that are partly utilized in the body and partly excreted in a modified form after serving their physiological functions. So this, the major malas are stool, urine, sweat, but there are other malas also. Most of the dhatus form also malas. In the course of forming a dhatu, which is also part of the process of transformation and digestion, then also there are different what's called upadhatus, which are formed, and also malas. For instance, the malas from one of the possible malas from rasa is mucus. So one of the symptoms of incomplete digestion is formation of mucus. For instance, if you have a cold and you eat something, then instead of forming rasa, then what you get is mucus. Everyone has that experience? So that's also a type of mala. The proper balance between the doshas, dhatus, and malas, when they're in balance with each other, that's one of the symptoms of health. And when they're out of balance with each other, then you get ill health. So I'll briefly explain what that means. Because everything in Ayurveda is based upon this. Now you eat something. So when you eat something, then hopefully what you get is you get digestion. Technically speaking, food is divided into three different, all food and water and everything is divided into three parts. The gross part, for instance, in food, is eliminated as forms the flesh. Another part will be eliminated. And another part will form the mind. In other words, food, what we're eating something, has three different elements. One is that something that the body will assimilate, and it'll form the basic flesh. Actually, what it forms is the different dhatus in the body. And then there's a part which will be eliminated that will form the malas. And then there's a part which will form the mind. Or actually we'll find out it forms the mind. Actually it forms the essential ingredients of the three doshas. There's the subtle parts of the three doshas, which is the essential part. For vata, that's called prana. For pitta, it's called Tejas, for Agni. And for Kapha, it's called Ojas. So prana is the active ingredient in vata. Vata is like the container, and what it contains is prana. Similarly, pitta is the container for Tejas, for Agni. Agni is generally identified, or Tejas in the Western world, as enzymes, or everything that goes into digestion. All the enzymatic activities are all under the category of Tejas and Agni. And Kapha is Ojas. So Ojas is, being the essential part of Kapha, it is like the container, it's the strength. It supports, it's the subtlest part of the immune system, Ojas. And because it holds as prana and agni, therefore it keeps the heat in the body and keeps the vitality of the body, the energy of the body. When Ojas is not present, then you have neither strength nor power of digestion or thought. Is that clear? Any comments? Anyone? Can you follow what I'm talking about? Well, you have to think, this is practical science. In other words, everyone has the experience, you need heat in the body. Right? And you have to have force, energy, to do something. And when there's no... for instance, Ojas, which is the subtlest part, as I said, of the dhatus. It's the product of the dhatus. So Ojas is the essence of the reproductive fluids or the reproductive system within the body. Therefore, one can very easily lose Ojas by sex. And, for instance, the current disease, which is known as AIDS. AIDS is simply, according to Ayurveda, of course, AIDS is 30 different diseases, but it's essentially they all have in common it's a debilitation of the immune system. And Ojas is said to be the subtlest manifestation of the immune system. Well, Ojas is the essence of the semen. It's not semen, but semen contains Ojas within it. It's the essence of the semen. Ojas is manifested as the of your aura. Ojas essentially forms your aura. But when that's lost through excessive, for instance, sex activity, loss of the reproductive fluid, then you lose Ojas. And when you lose Ojas, then you can't hold either prana or tejas in the body. You don't function. And the result is that you lose vitality. You have neither heat in the body, Ojas is strength, is the vitality, and you lose your ability to act. Is that clear? And therefore, since the immune system is weakened, therefore you can't kill off the invaders. Say, Ojas is lost, the immune system is lost, the strength of the body is lost, which is part of the immune system. Your aura is lost. So subtle vibration, subtle people's consciousness, their feelings, you can't ward off. And similarly, your body is weakened. You can't digest food. Therefore, you can't form either the dhatus, because you don't have the power to digest the food, and you can't eliminate the waste. And therefore, you get sick. And some other, they say that, you know, there's some virus or something like that that kills you. But actually, it's not a virus. What kills you is the fact that you can't digest food and you can't eliminate waste. And the viruses or bacteria or other types of parasites, they may kill you. But it's just like after the building was bombed, people may come and they start stealing things. Now, the reason why they started stealing things is not because the building was bombed. It was all open. You can do whatever you want to it. So similarly, after the devastation of the fact that your immune system has been destroyed, therefore everyone comes and raids it. But it's secondary. First the building was bombed, and then people start to invade it. So although there may be something about, you know, viruses and bacteria and everything else, but they're just secondary. Right. Yes.
This also applies to cancer?
Well, cancer is a special type of autoimmune disorder. It's when the body creates its own hitman, so to speak. In other words, the body kills itself. So cancer is grouped in Ayurveda, especially as a psychological disease. Because so there may be different types of cancer, but mainly it's a psychological disease. Because your body itself is destroying itself. So it's an advanced form of autoimmune disorder. Auto means self, immune. Immune means to ward off or to protect the body.
But according to some, cancer and AIDS have like the same...
Within AIDS there are different types of cancer. AIDS is 30 different diseases grouped together for whatever reason, probably funding. Because what happened, at least according to one book I read, first they had something like 18, 19 diseases. But then they start to go down, the incidences of these diseases, and therefore they were going to lose their funding, some part of their funding. So they included other diseases in it. So they brought it up to 30, and then they kept the level going. It seemed like it's going up, but actually what's going up is the number of diseases they include in it. Business. Someone told me that in America there are more people working on the finding out the cause for AIDS than there are people who have AIDS. That may or may not be true, but there's significant money involved. But there's something that's just like for the homosexuals, the disease that they get is called Carposi sarcoma, which is a type of skin cancer. While others who have like hemophiliacs who get AIDS, what they group as AIDS, they get a different type of, they may, AIDS. They get a different type of disease. They may die from pneumonia or other types of what's grouped as AIDS diseases. So there's a lot. There's a big range from pneumonia to cancer to all kinds of other diseases that are all grouped within AIDS. And the common factor is that it's based upon autoimmune deficiency. And autoimmune deficiency means that the body has no strength. But that what it really means is that you don't have any power of digestion or power of eliminating toxins from your body, or arm. And then you die, because the body doesn't work anymore. So from this, from digestion, then you form the dhatus. And you get the malas. You also get doshas. These are all formed in the process of digestion. So if the dhatus are well formed, then you get ojas. And ojas, we get prana from the food also. We also get it from the air and from water. So prana is stored in the body, and so is in Tejas and Agni, which also come from sun and from food, heat. So these are all stored in the body, and what happens is that the psychological processes and the physiological processes, such as digestion, they're enhanced. So if you digest your food well, you become healthier, and the symptom of being healthy is you can digest better. And the result is that because you can digest better, if you eat properly, then you should be able to get healthier, or you stay balanced. And if you don't, if the digestion doesn't go on properly, then you get something called am, or undigested food, which blocks the channels, shrotas, and when the channels are blocked, then there's no nutrition. The dhatus aren't, or in other words, the dhatus aren't formed. And there's no elimination of the malas. Or there's a decrease in the efficiency of the elimination, constipation, or you get a cold, you get a lot of mucus, etc., etc., and the channels are blocked. Therefore, ojas, prana, tejas, they're not formed, or they're not retained within the body. The result is your digestive system goes down, and whatever you eat will turn into more, which will block the strotras, and gradually your digestion, your nutrition, and gradually your power of elimination of toxins will be decreased more and more until you leave your body. Is that clear? To eliminate, to get rid of, to take away. Therefore, in Ayurveda, the two processes are purification and nutrition. The technical Sanskrit words are like shodhana, samana, or sometimes, which include within them the famous panchakarma, if you ever heard of that before, which are all directed towards purification of the toxins and all purifications of the unnecessary doshas and malas and toxins within the body, namely aham. Or maybe also parasites or whatever else, bacteria. So the purification, also nutrition known as rejuvenation. In other words, to build your body up again. Once you get your fire digestion going, you get the doshas balanced and everything's ready, then you can eat food and you digest it and you build up the dhatus and you get a strong body again. So if the body's sick, then you have generally you want to purify it first and then you build up again. And that, this is just common sense. Any kind of science, medicine, has to deal with these two factors. Purification and rejuvenation. Now in Western medicine, I don't know what they do. Generally they just give you some medicine to cover the symptoms or to so-called eliminate the cause, which they identify generally as bacteria or toxins or virus, and they deal, in general, allopathic medicine doesn't deal at all with digestion. What to speak of dealing with, you know, any kind of subtle causation of the symptoms, like for instance, being in Maya, or just being psychologically imbalanced, because there's also a psychological part, because if the mind or the intelligence is disordered, you won't know what to eat. You won't know how to be regulated. You won't know any of these things. And the result is you'll do the wrong things. You'll eat too much or you'll eat too little. You'll sleep too much or you'll sleep too little. And these will all interfere with the process of digestion, which will lead to all the problems. So if the mind, if the subtle body is not working properly, then the gross body will follow also. And if the gross body is not functioning properly, then it's also going to interfere with the subtle body. If you eat junk food, then your mind or the subtle part of your body, the subtle body, will also become contaminated. Because the subtle body, of course, we carry the mind with us, but it also is formed, according to Ayurveda at least, through part of the food that we eat. Now, that part has to do with people's consciousness. For instance, if you eat food cooked by a person who's in Maya, or if you eat food cooked by a person who has a certain consciousness, then you also take in their consciousness. Of course, if we eat food tasted by Krishna, then we become Krishna conscious. We get Krishna's consciousness is in the food. If he eats the food, it's offered to him. But if we prepare food or we eat the food which is offered, eaten by others, then we also imbibe their consciousness. Any questions about this? Yes. How do you get rid of the ama? How do you get rid of the undigested food? Well, the usual way is you fast. That's one way. There's so many ways of doing it. There's the two, they're all under the process of purification. and purification is, it's just like, it's an art. But the main part of purification, generally, first thing you can do is to fast. Or as Prabhupada said, if you have an unwanted guest within your house, the best way of getting rid of the guest is not to feed them. Then they go away. But it's not every disease has the same, was caused by the same factors or has the same strategy of treatment. Therefore, in Ayurveda, it's the part of purification is divided up into the different types of possibilities, the strategies to treat different types of diseases, different types of, which form different types of am. Sometimes am is mixed with the tissues of the body, and sometimes it's not. Just like there are different types of arthritis, where the synovial fluid, which lubricates the joints, it replaces the am, which is just like a viscous substance, replaces the synovial fluid. And so for arthritis, there's different strategies of treating it. And that comes under panchakarma, which is a radical, is known as sodana, which is a stronger treatment, or samana, which is pacifying. So there's different possibilities of treating it, of getting rid of the am, depending on different factors. But that, in order to learn that and to be able to practice it, requires a lot more study that we'll be able to get into in 5 days. But at least if we can get the overall picture, we won't be so mystified by Ayurvedic doctors. We might even ask them a question, too, which will help our own treatment. But basically, we should understand, if they give us a medicine, it either has to be to help us, either it's for purification or it's to help us digest better for nutrition. And to eliminate am, it's not necessary to get all kinds of elaborate medicine either. The process could be very, very simple, such as even fasting for a day or two. What's that? On what? Well, that depends. Even fasting is a science within Ayurveda. Depends what the disease is, depends what the season is, depends what your age is, depends upon what your constitution is, depends what the causative factors are. And therefore, even fasting is not necessarily a complete fast. To eliminate am, you may fast on water, you may fast on juice, you may fast on just different types of, in Ayurveda sometimes there's a fast on just, types of gruels in English they'd say, like rice gruel. Well, a little bit of rice cooked in a lot of water, or mung bean, type of khichdi. So there's different types of fast, depends on the strength of the person, his age, the type of disease he has, etc. Yes. Excuse me?
Cellulose.
What's that?
Is it
no, it's probably it's a type of it's fat, isn't that fat? That's a dhatu. It's too much excessive formation of the dhatu. The dhatus can be incompletely formed or they can be excessively formed. And that generally when they're excessively formed or incompletely formed, that means that the next dhatu along the line, so after fat comes maj. So then the marrow won't be formed properly. So people who are too fat, they may have some problems with their marrow. The marrow means everything it forms within the bones, including the nervous system, the brain, things like that. So then they have some lacking in that. And if the maj or the marrow is not formed, then the bone won't be properly formed either. So they may have some problems with their bone, if the bone isn't formed, etc. So if something is too much or incompletely formed on a lower level, that will affect the higher ones also. Anything else?
What happens with Am when you're fasting?
Well, hopefully what happens with the Am when you're fasting, if it's not too much already into the system, if it's just in the gastrointestinal tract, is that the fire of digestion will burn it, will digest it. Yes?
If the Am is already in the body for a long time and you cannot fast and want to put the Am eliminated,
yeah, therefore there's something called...
Can we test and test and test, or what? What to eliminate?
Well, that's why the science of purification comes in. So there's a science called Panchakarma, for instance, which deals...